Okay. I'm Democrat Josh Elliott. Right now, there is a motion to let me speak at the Bridgeport DTC. So they're all arguing whether or not I should even be allowed to speak in front of the DTC. Now, I've been to 90 DTCs, got like another 40 or so scheduled. This is just whether or not I can.
That was the scene at the Bridgeport Democratic Town Committee meeting this past Monday. You heard State Representative and gubernatorial candidate Josh Elliott there, as apparently fierce debate was going on whether or not he should be allowed time to address Park City Democrats. Shortly after seeing that post, I also saw a post on Facebook from Brandon Clark, recently elected DTC member from the 130th District, expressing numerous concerns about how not only Monday's meeting went, but the committee as a whole, how it's being run. Brandon is joining me now, as well as his fellow committee member Donna Carnell. Donna, thank you. Brandon, again, thank you guys both for making the time. So I guess let's start with that. Like, in your own words, describe Monday night, describe what happened.
Yeah, essentially a demonstration on what democracy does not look like. The leadership of the DTC, the chair, the vice chair, repeatedly tried to kind of move the business of the meeting along. It was incomplete business. So we didn't even have an agenda that covered everything that we actually had to cover. And then when Josh showed up and, you know, we have someone running for governor of the state of Connecticut. We are the largest city in the state of Connecticut. We have a large Democratic base in this state of Connecticut. I think it's advantageous to us to allow them to speak and hear from them. And there's really no appetite for that. They really tried to push over, like talk over and talk through our motions to allow him to speak. And there was a lot of kind of pushback against the idea until eventually we were allowed to, you know, give him some time. They gave him 3 minutes, which I think is absurd. It was quite a chaotic experience.
What were the...
Yeah,
what?
Going to add to that, if I may. I think Brandon said it best. It was democracy at its worst. I think that's really the way to say it.
All right. Well, let me start here. What were the items that were supposed to be covered on the agenda that night, and what did they not get to that you would hope that they would?
Oh gosh, I'm gonna have to pull up.
I can say the first one was that we would get 4 meetings scheduled with calendar dates.
Okay, so I know that this has been a sticking point in the past, right, that the DTC hasn't kept to that 4-time-a-year rule, which is in their own bylaws. Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right. Additionally, we need to have a website. Like, the DTC must have a website and post notices and agendas to it, and we don't have that.
Again, this is all in their bylaws.
Okay. Oh, so wait, hold on. A mandate for a website is currently in the bylaws, and they still don't have one?
I believe right, Brandon?
I believe it's in the state bylaws, but the state party requires that of local parties. And the reason it's not in our local bylaws is because our local bylaws are from before I was born. So they're from 1983. So
right.
Obviously, there's no
nothing
about a website in our bylaws, because our bylaws are so outdated.
Okay. All right. You wrote in the post that your collective voices were silenced, mocked, and disrespected repeatedly. Could you give some examples of that?
Yeah, I wish I had my notes here, because I did write down some quotes and I just left the paper at home. But they essentially, you know, were trying to railroad the meeting, trying to just jam the agenda down our throats. When we brought up, you know, points of order or points of privilege that need to be acknowledged, like we shouldn't be meeting without the full meeting schedule. Like, it's a 90-person body. Everyone's very busy. There's no need for us to not have 4 meetings on the calendar for this year that we can plan around and plan to be there for. They ignored those calls. When we made motions, they spoke over us. They mocked us by saying, like, what do you want to do? Like, grab breakfast, you know, like, we want to talk about the business of the
what
people,
do we need
the
meetings for, right?
Yeah,
what do we need
4
meetings for? Meetings for have breakfast, right? That was Mario's comment.
Wow. Okay.
So it was things like that. People, you kind of comments from other folks in leadership about like let it go. What are you doing? We don't want to be here all night. And then, you know, when the meeting ends, kind of their move that we've now seen at 2 meetings is that they're really quick on the motion to adjourn before asking for new business. And then there's a really quick second, and then it's moved, and then we're done. So the end of the meeting happened in like 10 seconds with no, it was like the final vote was called for the delegates. And then within, you know, 3 seconds, a motion was made, a second was made, and you were adjourned. And so there's just really no space for conversation about things that are really important. And again, we are in a big year. This is a year of the gubernatorial election. It's a year where the city has really big, significant needs, and we should be meeting as a party to say, like, what do we need? What we'd like to see from the governor, whoever that may be, once they're in office. And we didn't get there. We didn't even start to get there. And there seems to be no appetite or desire to get there.
What items were covered on the agenda? What did leadership prioritize and want to and actually want to discuss and get through?
I think I'm going to take lead on that, if I may. I think it was what they wanted was totally their agenda of their slate of delegates to be voted on. And none of us from the 130 were represented in the slate for the governor's election.
So there were two agenda items of the election of a treasurer, because
right.
The past 12 years we've been out of compliance because our treasurer for the party has not resided in the city. And they tried to elect her again last meeting against the bylaws. So that again, not just the state bylaws, but the city's bylaws say that you cannot have a treasurer who lives out of the city. And so they tried to elect her the first meeting. That didn't happen. So this time they put forward a second candidate who does live in the city. And so that was one, was just the election of a treasurer, which should have happened at the first meeting. And then the second agenda item that they had was the appointment of delegates to I think it's 5 or 6 conventions that we have coming up. For the most part, those were fine lists. The list that I do believe was kind of a list made to punish us for speaking out for speaking out on behalf of our voters was the gubernatorial, the state convention, in which there not only was there no representation from our slate on those electors, but there were people who lost the previous election. The mayor's brother was one of those electors, as well as a married couple from our neighborhood, which we also think is completely unnecessary. We only have a limited number of electors that we get to send to the state, and we don't think that it's necessary in a city of over 100,000 people to send 2 people from one household. And we believe that was done because those are folks that Mario can control and that Mario knows will vote the way that he decides.
Wants, right.
To reflect
right.
the will of the people or the voters.
So actually, yeah, that was what I wanted to clarify. So there are now people who are being assigned as delegates to the state conventions that are not active committee members or are lame duck committee members.
So you don't have to be on the committee to be an elector. You just have to be a Democrat in Bridgeport. So that is, you know, the chair's privilege. I thought this was interesting because we did just have an election a couple of weeks ago where some of the delegates that Mario's electing to send to the state were on the ballot, and the people of our neighborhood said, no, actually, we don't want those people to represent us at the Democratic Town Committee level. So I think it's safe to assume that they would not prefer them to be an elector in the convention. So there is no, you know, they don't have to send someone from the Democratic Town Committee. They don't have to send someone, you know, that even say they have to. But we were one of 3 districts that were punished in this way, in which we had no one from our town committee
represented
going to this state convention.
The other two being the 139th and 135th, according to your post, right?
That's correct.
Okay, great.
That's correct.
I did want to revisit for a second Representative Elliott's comments that he made on Instagram just about how they had to, you know, vote for him to even be allowed to speak. What were, you know, what was your conversation with him like? What were his comments on how the meeting went?
I think the only thing Josh said, I believe that he was welcome at every other meeting except ours, that we had to get into a vote about it. Everybody else let him come in and speak. So you'd think they'd want to hear from him and welcome him.
And for me, I think my final thought is that this is I think it's important, right? I think democracy is in a fragile place in our country. And I think it's really important for people to really see what's going on, hear what's going on at the local level, because I think that is where we're going to see change, and we have the ability to see change. And even though we weren't, you know, ultimately successful in all that we tried to accomplish on Monday, we did get a treasurer elected that is a Bridgeport resident for the first time in 12 years. And so that's a win that people are very proud of.
Well, I appreciate both of you coming on and talking to me about it. Brandon Clark and Donna Carnell from the 130th District of the Democratic Town Committee in Bridgeport, talking about what sounds like was a mildly contentious night. Thank you again both for being here. You're listening to The Download on The Voice Connecticut, WICC.